From the Farm Progress Show site, I'm Todd Gleason. Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's August the 29th, or rather August the 31st, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He's on site as we broadcast to you live from the 2006 Farm Progress Show in Amana, Iowa. Our thanks to AgriGold for inviting us into their tent for the duration of the show. AgriGold is a sponsor of the Closing Mark Report. Funding agricultural programming on AM 580 is an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialist, on the web at a6395.com. Coming up this afternoon, we'll talk with John Odie of Farm Progress Publications a little bit about livestock. John, of course, here at the Farm Progress Show site, as he's one of the folks that's been able to take care of the marketplace for them over the years. We've talked to him on Commodity Week from time to time. Ed Kieser, of course, will join us with the weather a bit later, and we'll talk about Annie's project. That all coming up during this edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report. The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety is a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, and it's a proud underwriter of agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606. Taking a look now at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade as they settled on this Thursday afternoon. September futures, 404. The final price, they're up 6.5 cents in the wheat pit for the day. December is at 422.25. They were up 5.75. In September corn, 232, 3.5 higher. December futures in the corn pit at $2.48 a bushel, up 3.25. In the March contract, up 3.5 at 262.75. Next year's December contract at $2.97, up 2.5 cents. September beans, 542.25, up 0.25. November's unchanged, 555.75. And January soybeans at 569.25. They were up 0.25 for the day. November contract for next year at 618.5, down 1 for the day. Bean meal September futures, 157.20, off 80 cents. September bean oil at 21. And they were up 27. From the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle, $116.95. And they were down $1.50 for the day. Or rather, they were down 15 cents for the day. Live cattle August contract at $90.22.5, up 35 cents. And the October's at $93.12.5, up 20. Lean hog futures at $66.90 a hundredweight. And they finished 30 higher. I, of course, work for University of Illinois Extension. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us this afternoon on a Thursday to take a look at the marketplace. Thanks, Pete, for being on hand with us. We appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
We've been happy to have you the last couple of days here in the AgriGold tent at the Farm Progress Show, as we've talked earlier today and throughout the day today and yesterday at our ag panel. Some good crowds here at the Farm Progress Show.
Yeah, yesterday was very good, and today, being the third day, a lot of times not many, but we had good crowds again today.
You know, light as usual. I kind of thought that given Tuesday being a pretty rough day out here, though, there were a lot of people here on Tuesday, that today might be a little heavier than it really turned out to be. But it was a gorgeous day, has been. And we'll shut down things here about 4 o'clock this afternoon. It won't take long for them to clear out of the Farm Progress Show site after being here for 3 days. Most anybody who's been on the site that long is ready to pack up and... Well, it's not like cleaning house. Things get done fast, 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 and we'll be back in home, I hope, by about 10 o'clock tonight. That would be...
I'll be there sooner because I don't have anything to tear down.
Are you walking out the door as soon as I get done?
I've got
you?
A couple of things to go do, but I'll be out of here by 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I bet you will.
At the earliest.
Hey, tell me, we've talked over the last couple of hours today about lots of things, but I want to know about your perception on wheat, because there's just this thing where a lot of people have thought about wheat, a lot of people are thinking about putting it in the ground this year, and if they do that, should they pull the trigger and go ahead and market it now?
I would certainly market a lot of it now. The price of next July wheat, I think, was $4.50 or above today, and because of those prices, there are going to be a lot more wheat planted in a lot of places in the U.S., and as a result of those additional acres, all of a sudden what was now a shortage of wheat worldwide, we might have excess wheat here and drive that back down to very low prices. So I would be selling a majority of it now. If you needed to protect prices for the up move or something later, you could get in the board to do that. If you don't sell it, I would certainly protect myself on the board with puts.
You know, this week we made new contract lows in the bean pit. Is there any reason to believe that market will rally as we go into the harvest season?
At the moment, I don't see any. We still do have great usage, but the August Midwest had great rains to make those beans continue to come on. So it wouldn't surprise me to see the yield over 3 billion. And I heard today one of the analysts say wouldn't be surprised to see it, a record yield. We do have excess beans right now. The thing that people are bullish about is for next year down the road, not for this fall.
Yeah, we've had Sue Martin on the program. She's on the air at 12:55 each and every day. And she's been talking about $8 beans quite a bit. Are you convinced that the market might have something like that in the offing?
I'm not convinced of that. But I think that because of South American lack of planting this fall, less acres, and maybe U.S. less acres next year, we could see some movement. Pretty good size to the upside next year, but right now we need to take care of this year's crop and be ready to do something to protect next year's crop.
Yeah, what Sue does say is that don't take the price that she gives, but take the timing that she gives. So the $8 is just sort of a price, but she talks about March. And March, April, May, June, July are always good months to market both corn and soybeans.
Worst times of the year to market is the fall and right after the first of the year when everybody had stuff for. And the best times of the year is in the spring.
So how do you go about protecting the soybean crop at this time of year?
Soybean crop, you can still buy puts. They're not, we've had a little bounce here in the last couple of days, but you can still buy puts. You can sell calls. Those are two ways to protect. You can sell cash if you like, but the basis is awfully wide right now. So you might be better off to buy puts on the board.
You know, we had Dan Zwicker in a couple of weeks ago for our Commodity Week program. That airs at 11:30 on Saturday mornings, by the way. And Steve Freed of ADM Investor Services will be our guest this week. But Dan came in, and while I don't take positions on the air and I try to be as unbiased as I possibly can, we talk about this marketplace every day. And Dan said, Todd, you're bullish again, so I'm going to be bearish the market. And my point is this, and I won't say which way I am because I really try not to. But my point is this, that this was the first time, and I asked Dan about this and some other analysts, he started to turn a little less bullish. I think he's still friendly to the market, but a little less bullish this corn market than many had been, say, in the month of July or in June or even in May. And I'm not talking about bullish for December. I'm talking about bullish for next year with all of the ethanol demand. And people were beginning to temper the ideas that the marketplace might really go. What are your perceptions?
Well, I'm not a raging bull, but I think, you know, we get this December 07 corn over 3. We get July corn of next year for this year's crop to sell up there. I think we were, at 290 today? Those are good places to make sales, a good carry on this year's crop and then next year's crop. When you get over 270, those are prices you need to be able to start taking. As you go higher, you sell more of it. So I think you need to, as a farmer, be selling into these $3 prices. Just sell it.
You know, we've been waiting for a while, and frankly, this is one that I've done personally on about talking about the $3 corn out in 07 and 08 because, $3 corn in July and $3 corn in April seem like a long way away, but this is about the time of the year we really start to take a look at what we consider the new crop 07, and we still have, you know, a price I think was at $2.97 today for new crop Dease corn. And that starts to sound pretty decent as a place to market some corn.
I think you should have marketed some already. One of the things we talked about on one of the panels today is a lot of years, whatever the lead month is, like 238, as it goes off, the other months migrate down to it. So we've got December corn right now at 238 for this year. Well, we migrate the other stuff down to that as we go through the year, and that's a very distinct possibility. They're paying us out far out to market this, so we should take advantage of some of that.
Thank you much. We appreciate you being with us, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. joining us here on the Closing Market Report on this final day of the Farm Progress Show. Agricultural information on AM 580 made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois. Producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-856-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com. Time now to take a look at the weather forecast. Our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, has been on site with us all week. Good afternoon to you, Ed.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Wow, what a beautiful day. We appreciate you being here, and the weather is magnificent. Round us out.
It certainly is. Well, I don't think I have to give you a forecast for the rest of the Farm Progress Show, although I wish it was as easy all the time as it is for that. Sunshine for the next hour and a half, 2 hours, and the temperature in the mid to upper 70s, just one of the best days ever here. We had the rain earlier in the week that wetted down the ground a little too much, but now that means that the payoff is we have a day here with very little dust. Yeah, the ground is now dry, and it's just a fabulous day to walk around. Showers will be back in this area Saturday and through the weekend. But for Illinois and Indiana right now, there's already some rain or continuing rain, especially in Indiana, and it's moving east to west. So some areas in central and northern Indiana are getting locally heavy rain. It looks like Boone County, Indiana, is one place where there's heavy rain heading toward Montgomery County and the Crawfordsville area right now. And some other showers are moving across Benton County, northern Benton, southern Jasper, into southern Newton, and toward Iroquois County, Illinois. So there are showers out there, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that in a few minutes.
Yeah, after the bottom there, we'll have you back, and we can talk about that at that point. Thanks much. Ed Kieser is the chief meteorologist here at AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report at WILL AM 580. We're joined now by John Odie of Farm Progress Publications and Wallace's farmer here in the state of Iowa. He's a livestock specialist and transferred over from the grains a few years ago. Thanks, John, for joining us, and thanks for coming in and joining us on the panels this week.
I'm delighted to be here, Todd, and delighted that WIL Radio, public radio in Illinois, came this far to visit with our fine folks that come over here from Illinois and also the folks that came all the way from the Corn Belt and even some international visitors that came to this year's Farm Progress Show. You know, every year we try to say this is the biggest and best Farm Progress Show ever, and I believe this year we're correct.
Did you think so?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, straight from John Odie's mouth, it's the biggest and best. Next year, Decatur will be the biggest and the best.
Well, I think that's exactly right, Todd. But, you know, the people that I've talked to that have been here, you know, all 3 days or different parts of different three days have all been pleased with the exhibitors, I'm thinking, now with the customers coming through their booths. And as different people have pointed out to me, the people that come to this show are used to being outside, and they're used to that type of weather that we had on Tuesday and over the since 1979, however many years that's been that I've been associated with the show. I've seen some tremendously poor conditions that I didn't think would ever shape up, and you know, 24 or 36 hours later, things actually had shaped up pretty well.
Yeah, 48 hours later, this show site looks really good, and I was talking, I heard Matt Youngman talk about this. Matt, of course, is the show director, and saying, actually, it was his wife, Crystal, used to work with us a bit, and as a U of I grad as well. And Crystal stopped by with her two little boys, and we were talking about it. And she said, you know, on Tuesday when people came out to the show, and it was sloppy, and, you know, half of the people who came in got stuck in the parking lot. And you guys
were working. It wasn't anywhere near half.
Working. It was half of us. You guys were working dogs. You guys were working like dogs out there to really get us moved around. But she said the people that came out on that day wanted to be at the show. And it did not matter. We were getting rained on. It was muddy. It was sloppy. It was lousy. And I saw a lot of smiles on that day. And, you know, there were a lot of people here that day, as far as I could tell.
Yesterday morning, Todd, when the front came through and the humidity dropped, I said, by 2 o'clock this afternoon, which was yesterday, someplace there will be dust. And I talked to people about, you know, we're wiping dust off of our tables this afternoon. We better start talking about livestock, or we'll have frittered away our time not provided anybody with any information, won't we?
Oh, well, we might. That's right. So tell me about the livestock. This is one area, frankly, that I don't do particularly well on the air. I have a tough time getting my hands around it. I've decided that since 80% of those hogs are contracted, that's not one of my primary areas to deal with. But there are a lot of beef cattle producers in Illinois and Iowa and Indiana that need lots of good information, and I'm having a tough time finding where to go to get that kind of thing.
Well, earlier this year, Todd, you know, we characterized the beef market, the hog market, and the dairy market. Basically, all three livestock markets about the same way. We had larger supplies looking us down the gun barrels, and we had prospects for lower prices. Well, over in the beef side, we still got fed cattle up in for the three near months up into the $89, $93, $94 area, which are respectable prices. One of the things, the weaknesses that has developed in the cattle market is the Southwest has been extremely dry. We're seeing more cows coming to market. We've seen large placements into feedlots of lightweight cattle. But we still got feeder cattle prices up there for the nearby futures for the three nearest months. Can't hardly spit that out there, Todd. Up in the 117, 118 area, those are respectable feeder cattle prices. One of the things that has evolved is, in spite of all this bullishness that we have for corn prices for the grain guys in the out months beyond April, May, June of next year, we actually, with the bigger crop that we've seen come that turned up in the August crop report, corn prices are actually lower now than what we would expected that they would be for the first three, 4 months of the 2006-2007 marketing year 3 and 4 months ago. So from the cattle feeder standpoint, and same way from the hog guy who needs to buy feed, their marketing strategy or their purchasing strategy on feed is kind of the reverse of what the grain guys should be looking at. And that is try to buy stuff on, and this works real well if you got storage, buy this cheap corn at harvest time, stash as much of it away as you can, and maybe go on and buy hand-to-mouth corn up until we start to pick up those prices in March, April, May of next year. And some years, as we're looking much, very much like what we're looking at this year, when we have tighter stocks coming at us toward the end of the marketing year, sometimes in those types of years, the low comes early. So what we might do is we might put in a futures low sometime at or beginning at harvest time, and then what we will do is the weakest basis might come when the last 10% of the crop is looking for a home, and so you kind of blend those two together on your purchasing strategy.
One other question for you, and then we'll have to let you go. Tell me about inflation and your feelings there.
I'm concerned about inflation, and I have been, and being driven by the three deficits, the trade deficit, the budget deficit, the current accounts balance deficit. I'm also concerned, and those deficits are one of the things that's driving weakness in the dollar. And land prices have risen sharply over the last 3 and 4 years. And I've been concerned that, we before we blow the top off of that thing, we might have a burst of inflation. And people, Todd, that are a lot smarter than I am, say, yeah, the potential for inflation is out there. But when you look at the market and you look at the long bond, the interest rate on the long bond is 4 and 5%. The market as a whole is much smarter than any of us individually, and if the market expected a surge of inflation coming, the long interest rates would be much higher than they are.
John Odie, thanks much. We appreciate it a lot. John Odie is with Farm Progress Publications, joining us here on the Closing Mark Report on this Thursday afternoon, the last day of the Farm Progress Show. In the stool next to us. Oh, that's a bad way to put that, isn't it?
Let's reword that, please.
Can we reword that? On the stool next to us? That's not any better, is it? In the seat next to us. How about that, Ruth? Ruth Hamilton in the Mount Vernon Extension Center joins us now. Ruth and I are a couple of the only extension folks from Illinois that are out here that are working, I suppose. She's been in Annie's project, and she's the one who developed that particular project. It's a project for women. She's here to tell us a little bit about that and what they're doing at the Farm Progress Show with Iowa and a few other places. Hi, Ruth. Thanks for joining us.
Well, you're welcome.
What is Annie's project?
Annie's project is an education program for farm women that I put together back in 2003. Had a chance to develop some farm women program when a grant from a USDA came my way. And with some help from the Illinois AgriWomen and several other groups over in the state there, we were able to put this program together that we thought, oh, would be good for maybe 1, maybe 2 years. And much to our surprise, this program has spread throughout the Midwest. We are going to be in 13 states here this next winter and have plans to go nationwide with it.
You know, when I put this program, when I put the news release together on this one for radio back in January, I slugged it or gave it a headline of a farm wife can pull the trigger. Now, anybody can read whatever they want into that, but really we were talking about marketing, and that's some of what Annie's project does.
That is one of the sessions that we spend 3 hours introducing them to Ag Market, and then we have them go into full-blown seminars. And somewhere in their future is a trip to the Chicago Board of Trade. That's where it all happens. We find some great sponsors who will do some education for them while we're up there, take them down on the floor. The wonder of establishing price and supply and demand in that chaotic environment is just totally fascinating to those ladies. They take that knowledge home, and by golly, if they just don't do a little bit better job than the guys do.
Yeah, and why is that?
Well, I think it's because, number one, the women get it when we talk to them about how you can use some marketing strategies. They're not afraid of some of these tools that some of the guys might be. They're not married to their grain. They see that as a dollar bill that's going to pay for school supplies, that's going to replace that dishwasher in the kitchen. That's going to go into the retirement savings account. You can't write a check with corn in the grain bin or with soybeans. You got to have cash, and the women just get it.
You know, I thought Annie's project was really targeted at older women, widows in particular, to teach them how to run the books after their husbands have passed away. Women tend to live longer by about 8 years than men.
I hear that statistic quite often, and in our classes would bear that out. Just about in every class we have, there's one or two widows. Some very recent, those are the ones that tear your heart out because they are there looking for help. They are, you know, it's a bad time for them, and then they also have this operation that maybe they paid attention, maybe they didn't, and now they have to start being the major decision makers. So we work very closely with them. We find mentors. We find other women who've been through it and tell them that there is life after this bad situation. And some of the ladies are quite successful. You got to look at them and just give them big gold stars for what they've been able to do.
And younger ladies, too?
As young as we have been, my classes run from age 16 to 84. The 16-year-old is a farmer's daughter, and the farmer decided his daughter needed to start early. She was wonderful. She was the sweetheart of our class. And when we sent women home with homework at 16, they take it seriously. They take the homework assignment very seriously. The older ladies, you know, I don't know if I can do this homework assignment. But, she was the sweetheart. So 16 is the youngest. The older ladies come with a wealth of experience. Oh, my goodness, some of the things that they have seen, the places they have been.
We've got 1 minute left. How do you get hold of Annie's project? Who gets involved? How many states?
Right now we have 13 states. You can Google Annie's Project or do a word search on your internet. Annie's Project, our link will be the first one that comes up. In October, we will be announcing our classes, and so we invite you to check out our website. You'll find my address and phone number there.
All right. And they can just contact their local extension office, quite likely, in Illinois, too.
In Illinois, you can contact your local extension office. They are familiar with it.
All right. We appreciate it, Ruth. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Ruth Hamilton of the Mount Vernon Center for University of Illinois Extension on hand this afternoon here at the Farm Progress Show to talk a little bit about Annie's project. Thanks for being with us at the Farm Progress Show. We do appreciate it. We'll be back in just about 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. Your regional newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The Chicago Sun-Times quotes unnamed University of Illinois officials as saying Chief Alanowicz could cease to be an official university symbol after the upcoming athletic season. The report says tentative plans are in the works to transfer the Chief Alanowicz tradition to a group of alumni who have portrayed the chief in the past. but a University of Illinois spokesman says no decisions have been made about the chief. Tom Hardy says U of I trustees are continuing with their efforts to find a consensus solution to the Chief Illiniwek controversy. The chief will appear at U of I football and basketball games this season, despite NCAA sanctions against the school. A federal judge in Chicago says she'll consider allowing the father of six children killed in a fiery accident to speak at the sentencing hearing of former Illinois Governor George Ryan. The accident that killed the Reverend Scott Willis's children has been blamed on a driver believed to have gotten his license illegally while Ryan was Secretary of State. Police officers who took part in a charity bike ride that was cut short by a fatal crash in Vermilion County, Indiana last week are completing their ride this afternoon at an Indianapolis cemetery. The officers were raising money for the families of officers killed in the line of duty. Weapons charges have been dismissed against an Illinois state trooper who says he believed he had the authority to purchase an assault rifle. An order issued by a federal judge in East St. Louis says the weapons law is unconstitutionally vague when applied to police officers. A report by Physicians for Social Responsibility is critical of the government's plans for treating people downwind from a nuclear attack. But a Homeland Security Department spokesman says the report seems to lack a grasp of reality. The study looks at health risks downwind from a nuclear attack or dirty bomb in Chicago, New York City, and Washington. Manufacturing is down in the Chicago area, but last month's level beat Wall Street expectations. The National Association of Purchasing Management Chicago says its regional index fell to 57.1 from 57.9 in July. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture, coming to you today live from the AgriGold tent here at the Farm Progress Show in Amana, Iowa. It has been a very good run, Ed Kieser, over the last 3 days. We're really glad you came out as part of the Ag staff to be with us here and meet all the farmers from around the Midwest. It's been fun. Thanks much. We appreciate it.
Well, I've enjoyed being here. It's good to get out of the office, especially on a day like this. On Tuesday morning when the car got stuck at 5 in the morning, I was beginning to wonder and just the slog in here, thinking, what did I get into? But after yesterday afternoon and today, that makes up for it. We have bright sunshine. It's beautiful.
You know, it didn't bother me at all. I don't mind that kind of weather. If I know I've got
You're
something.
You're not responsible for the car, though.
Yeah, I don't have to wash it when we get back.
We get it back there.
I'm just getting out. That's
the
right.
The car I brought, they're just going to wonder. We had people on the interstate staring at it last night. It was so dirty.
Well, that's because everybody else backed up to you and just spun out. Everybody was spinning
it
out.
It was amazing.
So we've gotten drier weather, and is here it going to stay with us?
Here in Iowa and in northern and west central Illinois, it's dry with some sunshine, but in Indiana, there are some showers and thunderstorms, and one thunderstorm cell is moving into Logansport from the east right now, and there's another batch of showers and thunderstorms along the I-65 corridor right now, extending from near Kentland, Indiana, through Lafayette and down to Lebanon, and that's all pushing off to the west, so Crawfordsville is about to get wet, and some of those showers may enter parts of east central Illinois around Iroquois County first. As far as staying dry here in Iowa, I think northwest Iowa will start to see showers tomorrow. They'll spread through the rest of Iowa on Saturday and push back into Illinois and Indiana later in the weekend. So the one system is going to be very slow to move out, and the other one is going to come in on its heels. So generally unsettled weather, but I think for the Champaign-Urbana area, dry tomorrow and probably the best day of the next several Saturday before we get into showers again. And to the east, it's going to be wet because of Ernesto that's going to slowly move up toward Pennsylvania.
Too early yet to start talking about Monday and Labor Day?
Labor Day, not too early to talk about it. Right now, it doesn't look that good. It looks cloudy and showery around the Midwest. There may be a few breaks in the clouds here and there. That means high temperatures mostly in the 70s across Illinois and Indiana. So not too bad, but a little below average on the high side.
Have you been able to keep track of anything longer out? I know you don't like to go out more than 10 days, but there are forecasts out there for 30 and 60 and 90 days from time to time from the National Weather Service and other places. What are they saying about the fall?
Well, right now they're just saying equal chances of above, near, or below average temperature. And they put the odds, actually for the 90-day, a little above average for temperature. And there's no hints of anything in particular in terms of moisture. I can tell you that right now the big question as we get to the last day of August and head into September is, do we have an early frost on the way? And right now it's not looking likely. Over the next 2 weeks, the maps that we see indicate temperatures staying well above that threshold. And then as we get later into the month, there are some factors hinting against an early frost. So at this point, I wouldn't worry about it.
Thanks much, Ed. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser joining us here in the AgriGold tent on the Farm Progress Show site in Amana, Iowa. This is our last broadcast before we pack up and we head back for the homestead. We'll be back tomorrow. Dave Dickey and I and Joan Harshbarger really thank, along with Ed Kieser, thank everybody who made this possible, including AgriGold, Henry Frain at the controls back at the radio station. In fact, all the engineering staff this afternoon, the folks that were doing things this morning that made this really go well, including our computer staff. You can't imagine how much computer equipment we need to bring with us so that Ed and I and Dave can manage to get hold of all this material. Internet has made this a lot easier, but we have to have a good IT staff to make that happen, a good engineering staff. WILL has both of those, and we thank them big time for what they've done for us. For this Farm Progress Show, signing off from Amana, Iowa, four-year director of agricultural programming, Dave Dickey, I'm Todd Gleason.